Praise God. I want to talk to you today about prayer. Is that okay? I'm looking for my prayer leaders. Who are my prayer leaders? Lift your hand up for a second. One, two. You're a prayer? I think Charlotte's back there. And Mackenzie, are you here? Mackenzie's not here? Okay. Anyways, I was going to ask you to do something, but I'll wait just in case. You're not ready? I'm going to put you on the spot. No, I'm not going to do that. If you turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 4 and 17, we're going to read that verse of Scripture. I want to talk to you about four steps to answered prayer. There are actually seven steps, but you can double up on some of them there. So there's another teaching called Seven Steps to Answered Prayer, but you will see here. I know you guys are very, very smart, and you can catch on very fast, so I put it to four steps. Prayer, topic of prayer, and let's go ahead and read our text. It says, as it is written, do we have it up here? Yep. King James, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, God here is talking to Abraham, our father. This is our spiritual father. The Bible says they who are of faith are the same as Abraham. He is the father of all those who believe. And he's the father of faith. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen. And I believe in the King James Version, if you have the word before him, that expression there, those two words before him, is actually translated as just like God. In other words, Abraham did just like God did his father. You know, we act like our fathers. Every time I walk by the mirror, especially when I don't comb my hair in the morning, I look exactly like my dad. I walk exactly like my dad. I look like my dad. Even my hairline, my top of my hair, I look exactly like my dad. My mom used to tell me when I was like 14, he says, you look exactly like your dad. And I don't know if I like that or not. I guess some of you look like your dad. I haven't seen Pastor Ken's dad, but I'm pretty sure he looked like him. So a little bit. So Abraham did just like God did. He acted like God. You know, the Bible says we should act like, you know, like the Lord. Just behave like him. So here's the answer to all this whole discussion this morning. I need to put this down somewhere. And that is, you can know. You can know K-N-0-O. You can know. You can know that your prayers are answered. Let's all say this together. I can know that my prayers are answered. So this is what our discussion is this morning. So we can learn from Father Abraham about the principles. You know, principles are laws. They don't change. Like say, for instance, one and one will always be one and one. 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now. It's a principle, it's a law. I mean, what kind of law was that? Mathematical law, right? Okay, so these are principles. So, and if we put these principles into operation, into our personal prayer lives, we would get answers to our prayers. And so many people do not believe their own prayers. Many people don't believe their own prayers is sufficient, so they go to different prayer meetings and they go to big meetings and they ask the evangelist, or the prayer, the guy who's preaching, they think that he has the answer and he has the key. Somehow he has a magical ability toward for God that he can answer your prayer. And so so they don't have confidence in each other. I understand that we, at times, as a new believer, that we might be like that for a certain time. But after a certain level, we should be able to understand, just like any other kid would know how to maneuver himself around his own home. So people who do not believe in their prayers should be able to do that. They should be able to believe themselves. They should be able to believe the Bible. So people go wrong without confidence that God somehow didn't hear them, that somehow God cannot answer their prayers. And so we can be confident, people. We can be confident that God hears us, that God loves us individually. And not because somebody is some flashy pastor like myself, you know, that I have all the answers. I have to have some kind of a way to get into God because God called me. No, that's not how it is. God answers everybody the same way. It's not, your prayers aren't going to be answered any more quicker if you phone Kenneth Copeland Prayer Line or the Rhema Prayer Line or Joyce Meyer Prayer Line. Your prayers aren't going to be any more quicker. Even if they did answer, I believe they do know how to pray, and if you still have unbelief, you're still not going to get it. So you have to be confident in yourself at a certain level. So we need to appreciate that so we can get the job done. So here are four principles that you can use to determine that your prayers can be answered. Remember, you can know that your prayers are answered. So, you know, before we answer this, let me just ask about, you know, your personal prayer life. Or just give you three scriptures before we go into our steps and talk about this for a second. Let's see here. Okay. Okay. So let's go to three scriptures. Matthew 6:6. I'm reading the King James. Matthew 6:6, Mark 11:24, and Philippians 4:6. Those are three scriptures or three references. The Bible says you need two or three references in order for you to know something from the scripture. So this is what we want to get out of this verse of scripture, that God expects you to pray. That's the crux of this scripture I'm giving you. So Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, when thou, that's talking about you, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That means we need to go to God ourselves in a private matter. And when thou hast shut the door, that's you're alone now with God, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and when thy Father which sees thee in secret shall reward thee openly. That's talking about the individual person having their own prayer life. Now listen to me, there are distinctions I want to ask you. There's times that we get into difficulty and we need somebody to help us. That's a different story. But we should take care of things ourselves along certain lines. So we should have, according to this scripture, we should have a prayer life and go to God ourselves. Be confident that God, your Father, will answer you. Here's another thing, Mark 11:24. So you should go to your own prayer closet. You should ask God something. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, previous to this verse of scripture, Jesus just explained about the God kind of faith, which is believing and receiving. Then he says, therefore, because believing and receiving is a principle law about the God kind of faith, he says, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire. Everybody say, you desire. That means you. That means I don't take everybody's prayer in there. I'd be busy all day long. But sometimes you could do it collectively, right? So there's some things you could do. So when you go, he says, whichever you desire. When you pray, you believe that you receive, and you shall have them. So prayer is predicated upon believing something. You have to believe. You have to believe what? Believe that you receive what you're asking for when you pray. If you're still doubting after you pray whether or not God heard you, then you don't have it. But so it's individually that we have to do that. And so I want to help us, all of us, to get confident in our own prayer. I want all of us to feel that we're confident in it, and that if anybody asks you, your family, and you can go and pray for your family, your children, your mother, your father, or somebody else, if they're not even, they don't understand this, you can do something for them. Right? So, and Philippians 4:6, Paul is talking here to the church at Philippi. He says, be careful for nothing. In other words, another version says, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer. It's good to take everything to prayer, right? And supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request, right? Let your request be made known to God. So those three scriptures tell us that we should have a prayer life. And anybody who is spiritually healthy has a prayer life. Spiritually healthy people go to God every day. And God, in your prayer life, God will correct you. God will talk to you about things. If you stole something, he'll tell you to take it back before we pray here. If you messed up and if you've been mean to somebody, he says, you know, you better ask me for forgiveness first. He'll talk to you. How about correcting yourself first? Healthy people have a prayer life. Because you are not of yourself. God and you have a relationship, and he has a wish for you, or he has a desire for you, a certain way to behave. So those two scriptures I want you to keep in mind as we talk about this here, about our answers to prayer. So let's go back to this. So we can know that we have our prayers answered. So let's talk about this for a second. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, that is anything according to his will. In other words, anything that's contained in the Bible, anything in the scriptures. He didn't say, if we ask anything out of the top of our heads. He doesn't go by our standard. He goes by his standard. We should ask him according to what he says his will is. He hears us. So we know that God hears us if we come according to his will. If we know that he hears us because we come according to his will, whatsoever we ask, no matter what we ask, if it's according to his will or his word, we know that we have the petition we have desired of him. So we need to come to God according to his will. In other words, according to what the scriptures say belongs to you in the Bible. A lot of times you don't have to pray for things that already say that it belongs to you. You just go ahead and act like it's real and that belongs to you. Just go ahead and say, okay, that belongs to me. Okay, I'll receive it. And like we always use this kind of illustration, if you went to your parents' home, you don't ask your mom and dad, can I just sit in this chair here? No, you just go and sit down because whatever belongs to them belongs to you. Yeah. You say, Dad, can I park in your parking spot over here when there's four parking spots already open? Son, go ahead and park. What's wrong with you? Go ahead and park there. That's yours. You know, and is there's food in there, you know, maybe your favorite dish is in there somehow. And you ask, God, oh Lord. No, you know, sometimes we pray like this to God, right? We don't say, Dad, can I please have some of that food? No, we just go ahead and eat it. It's yours. So God wants us to have whatever is there in his house or your parents' house. You can have whatever it is. So this is how we look at it. So this is the confidence. So we have confidence when we ask according to his will. So the confidence comes from coming to God, knowing that he said it. He said, God, well, you said it. I'm asking what you said. So let's picture Abraham in Romans chapter 4, 17 to 21. We're going to read some scripture here. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. I don't know why I didn't jot that down here. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. We're looking at Abraham as our example. And let's start reading from verse 17. As we read the first scripture, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. In other words, you know, a prayer is like calling those things which be not as though they were. That's the faith prayer, right? We call it like it is, even though it's not. But because God already said it is, then we could call it like it is. Not call it like we see it. Not call it like our experience is telling us. No, we call it the way God said it is. So, let's see here, verse 18. He says, who against hope believed in hope? In other words, this was a hopeless situation, and yet Abraham still prayed that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, according to which God had spoken, so shall thy seed be. He heard God say that to him. And not being weak in faith, he could have been weak in faith, but he chose not to. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. In other words, he didn't consider that the fact that God will not answer his prayer because of his age. He considered what God said even though he was old. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither did he at the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, he not only had to not consider his own body, but he had to consider his wife's body too. Sometimes when we're believing, we have to believe beyond ourselves. If God has a promise for us, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, that's what faith is all about, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, we get a picture of Abraham and his faith in God, and we see how we can take four principles to believe God in our prayer for what we need. God gave Abraham a son that he had promised. Things look impossible for Abraham and his wife. They were well in age, and his wife was, you know, past childbearing, and she also was barren. And God proved himself faithful to his promises. Even when things looked impossible, and things that might be impossible with people, but are possible with God. God has no respecter of people. Amen. That God will not respect me more than he respects you or any other preacher. God respects you on the basis that you're his child and that you come according to his word. So Abraham, so he's no respecter. If he did it for Abraham, he'll do it for you and me. And we know Romans 2:11 says that God is no respecter of people. Like he's not going to respect somebody because, oh, they're older, a Christian, or, that person has more money than you, or they live, you know, whatever. No, God will respect you just as the next guy if we come into him in according to Scripture. notice Luke chapter, what Luke said about Peter. In Acts 10:34, when God gave the Holy Spirit to these people, just like he gave him to them, he says, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God has no respecter of persons. That God gave those people the Holy Spirit, those Gentiles, they were Jewish Christians when they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and God was filling these people up in Acts 10:38. They received the Holy Spirit. They received salvation. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues just like they did on the day of Pentecost. And he said, I see that God is no respecter of persons. Thank God. Amen. that you can come to God knowing that he's not going to, you know, unqualify you, no, if you come according to his word. So, here. So when we take these four steps to getting our prayers answered, he will answer us no matter who we are. So he was speaking here to the Gentiles in that verse of scripture we read. And we can see that he said, as a Jew, he says, there, God is no respecter. It does not matter your race, your culture, your position. The only thing God wants from us is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God wants us to come to him by faith. The first key is, number one, is this. Know God's will. The first key is know God's will. The first step is to take, this is the first step we take for our prayers to be answered, is to know what we desire from God, that what we desire from God is contained in the scriptures. Or we find out that God promised something. Every time you pray, you must ask yourself, is that in the scripture? Where in the Bible is that scripture found that you're asking God for? Amen. Like Brother Hagin used to say, when he did personal prayers and he preached a lot of places, he would sometimes in the prayer meetings and the churches that he went to, he would say to people, he would come up to people when they're having a prayer meeting, he'd whisper to them, what are you praying about? And the person says, nothing in particular. He said, that's what you're going to get, nothing in particular. So we need to be particular. That Philippians 4:6 says, whatsoever, you know, whatever your request is, whatsoever you desire, when you go to your prayer closet, you pray to the Father. So we need to see that, you know, the first step is know what God's will is. We have to know the will of God on the matter that we're asking about. We can have faith for something. We can't have faith for something we don't know anything about. So faith will begin where the will of God is known. You can only have faith for what the Bible says. And beyond that, you're in the dark. So you can't pray. When you pray for something, you should not ask this. You should not pray this way. It's if you're praying for yourself or something, Lord, if it be thy will. No, you better know what the will of God is for. So when Jesus used the term, if it be thy will, it was when he was, you know, giving himself over to God for some consecration and dedication and submission to God. That's the only time you would use that term or that phrase. Lord, if it be thy will. Say if you didn't know where you're supposed to go to work. Say you went to you were looking for a job and you kind of want to stay in Thunder Bay, but you also want to go somewhere and you want this job, but you want several other jobs. You don't know what you want. Say, Lord, if it be thy will. I think that'd be acceptable way to pray. I did it. When I was finished college in 1980, I finished college here, the college program. And I asked, there was a few jobs I was looking for and applied to certain jobs, and I flew to Sudbury, I drove to Geraldton, I went to Nipigon, I went to Kenora, I went to Fort Frank. I was looking for a job, and so I had all these applications, and I knelt down, I said, God, I don't know what I want. I know I need a job, because I got all these bills here, you know. And so I said, whatever your will is, Lord, send me wherever you want to go. And then I went, I asked, this is the way I prayed, Lord, but I don't want to go to Kenora. And I went to Kenora. God sent me to Kenora. So it's a dangerous prayer. But I went there, and when I went to Kenora, I had a number of spiritual experiences, several spiritual experiences by myself in Kenora that maybe I would have never had any other place in my life. I had gifts of the Spirit operation. The anointing of God came on my life and different things when I was all alone, and God showed me that he wanted me to do something for ministry. And maybe I wouldn't have had that yet. I hadn't knew too many people. I was too distracted living in the city. So Some of you might have to get out of town. So you can't pray if it be thy will and have confidence that what you're asking for is answered. You seem to be in shock. Okay, anyway, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence. How many people want confidence? Then you need to know the will of God about what you're praying about. Don't be in the dark. That we have in Him, if we ask anything according to His will, it's all about Him, it's all about what He said in the Scripture. It goes on to say, after that, if we ask according to His will, it goes on to say, we know that we have the petitions. So you can know that you have your request answered when you come according to what He said. So here, if you want your prayers to be answered, you cannot doubt. There's no way you can have doubt. I wanted to go back to a scripture verse up here that I wanted to read earlier. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Lots of people are going. No, we won't go there for now. The Lord is changing my mind. So, Mark 11, 23, 24. So, if we're asking for something, we can't doubt. Doubt? Somebody says doubt and do it out. That's pretty good, eh? Doubt and do it out. So, doubt is like, doubt is when you... When you're wavering between, God heard me. I felt God heard me. When I prayed, I felt some spiritual feeling. Oh, I felt so much peace. And then you come out of that, then you come out and something tells you out there that you can't have it. Then you doubt because it's taking too long and whatever. And so Then you start doubting that if it's taking too long, then you start doubting, oh, I guess He didn't hurt me after all. Maybe there's sin in my life. And so the devil says, see, you don't have it. And then he keeps talking to you. And you keep listening to him. So Mark 11, 23, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Mountain is significant, signifies anything that might be big. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that is in his heart, that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Believe in his heart means believing in your heart. That term, believing in your heart, means this. It means believing without sense, knowledge, evidence. Believing in your heart means you're believing from the inside, with your spirit, without your feelings, without your sight, without your hearing, without anything else that would verify that you have your answers. Even if you prayed and things look wonderful, that doesn't mean your prayer is answered yet. You're believing based on the principle of God's word. You say, why do you believe that? Well, does anything happen yet? Well, not really, no, nothing. Did you feel any better? No. Well, what do you believe that? Well, I believe it on the principles of God's word. It never changes. God never changes. The Bible said God never changes. So here's where we have trouble in that when something takes a little bit longer, we start to wane. We get weaker the longer it takes. Sometimes, here's what I said, here's what somebody said, and I believe because... Sometimes when we have to wait a long time, when it's a bigger miracle, you have to wait longer. Sometimes it doesn't take as long for some things. Verse 24, therefore, now he's talking about therefore, means, verse 23 is actually the mechanics of the faith. And verse 24 is basically saying, because verse 24, that's how it works, that the God kind of faith works, is believing and receiving. Two things. Believing and receiving. That's two things. And you could cut it down a little bit more than that. But therefore, I say to you, what things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive. The moment you pray, you have to believe you receive it. If you pray before you have confidence, if you pray before you believe something that you have, and if you're doubting, oh, I don't know if this is going to work or not, you're not going to have it. So that means something. It means you didn't go to the first step, and that is to know confidently what the Word of God said. So here, what things do you ever you desire when you pray? Believe that you receive them. That is, believe you receive your petitions, and you shall have them. Matthew 21, 22 says, Jesus said, all things are possible. No. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, you shall receive. No, it didn't say that. All things whatsoever you desire, you shall ask in prayer, believing. Believing you shall receive. So it didn't say every time you pray, it's going to answer. It's not about prayer. It's believing prayer that answers the situation. Believing prayer, which means that you don't believe with sight, feeling, circumstances, if they look good for you. You have to believe in your heart. That means you don't believe because circumstances look wonderful the next day and they're even better the next day. No, you're believing. Why? Because the Word of God says it. What if it takes thousands of years? You're still going to believe. Right? So all things are possible to him, whoever shall ask in prayer, believing. So it's believing prayer. Believing what? Believing the Word. Believing that you're born again? No, that's good. Believe that the church is praying? No, that's all right too. Believe what? Believe that the Holy Spirit is working for you? Well, that's good too. Believing what? Believing that you receive your petition. Accept that. So we have to learn to speak right after you pray. Speak faith-filled words. Amen. One thing harder to do is to speak when everything is against you that you prayed about. I know it. I've been going through it myself. especially when it takes so long, when things are taking longer, especially when you're praying for somebody else. You're praying for a family member. They're not even changing. They seem to get worse. You're praying for your husband. You're praying for your children. You're praying for something, other people, and you got to continue to stand in faith, believing for them. And I could ask every one of you, how many people are praying for your family member? Everybody, raise your hand right now. Is it taking long? Yes, it's taking long. And so you're struggling with it. You see, one time it's okay, another time it's not. So learn, the hardest thing for any Christian to do is to speak positively when things are going all wrong with them in accordance to what they prayed about. James 1:26, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridle not his tongue, we're still talking about speaking, right? But he deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's the King James Version. The New Century Version expresses it this way. People who think they're religious but say things that they shouldn't say are just fooling themselves. Their religion is worth nothing. So if you pray about something and then you go talk negatively about it, now there's a distinction. Like the other day I was telling Pastor Ken about some things. And I was telling him some facts about what was going on. I didn't want to, you know, it was not unbelief. It was just saying that something that was not right. And I know he joked about it, but you hesitate to tell people what's going on sometimes because you don't know because they think you're not in faith. No, I'm in faith. I'm just telling you the facts. Abraham had to know facts. And everybody needs to know their fact. If you're going to pray against things that are factual, you know, but we don't. So if we pray about something, say for instance, and we come out of the prayer closet, then we say everything negative about what we prayed about. And then you go to the next prayer meeting, the next special flashy prayer meeting, all the lights are on, everybody's singing, and you feel spiritual. And they ask you for anybody want prayer, and you run up there. I thought you already prayed about that thing. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, they used to talk about him. He would ask them something, and then he would turn them around, he would kick them, and then, go sit down, listen. When you come back, when you're ready to pray. And ministers used to get mad. That guy, you know, they wanted to fight him. The ministers wanted to fight him because he would tell them, listen, go sit down. You're not ready to pray. And a lot of times I've seen this over the years, and you can assess this too, that some people are quick to go and get prayer without knowing the will of God. They want you to do it for them. Yeah, that person might know, but you might not know. You know, so there's a time. So it's important to continue to speak faith-filled words after prayer has been said, even when it didn't seem unlikely. We believe. We don't sow negative words into our own hearts and our minds by speaking negative about what we prayed about. Amplified Bible, James 1:26 says this: if anyone thinks himself to be religious, pious, observant to external duties of his faith, and does not bridle his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religious service is worthless, futile, and barren. Another thing is, we don't put out fleeces like Gideon did to see if God's word is true, or if that he heard us and that he answered us. Gideon didn't have the Holy Spirit in him like we do today. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a New Testament like you and I. So don't look towards signs to verify if God had heard or answered your prayer. We need God's word on anything that we ask him for that gives us faith to stand. God's word must come in to any person's life if we're going to ask for something. We must know his will in there. For instance, God's promised he supply all of our needs. Let's look at this scripture. Psalm 23 in verse 1. The scripture says, the Lord, that's Jesus, he's talking about Jesus, the Lord or Jesus is my shepherd. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd will provide food for the little lambies. He will protect them from any predator. And he will lead them and guide them along where he needs to go, where they need to go, like to go and lie down in green pastures and find water. And he will watch over them. That's what Jesus do. He says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because Jesus is your shepherd, you will not lack for one thing. Amen. That's my confession all the time. And then it says in that verse of scripture, or that chapter 23, it says, I will not fear no evil. So that should be everybody's confession in this room right now. I will not fear no evil. I will not fear of losing my money. I will not fear of getting old for some of us. I will not fear what people say. I will not fear about who's the next president of the United States. I will not fear who if the conservatives come in or not. God's going to be still the same God. Come on now. Right? I will not fear. If I lose my job, I'll not fear God is going to give me another job, a better one. Is that okay? Because why? Because Jesus is your shepherd. He will always provide for you. Here's another scripture. Lord, here's the common English version. You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. I will never be in need. Here's what I say to myself. I'll never lack anything. I will never lack finances. I'll never lack finances for myself or for Spirit of Life Television. I will never lack finances for Spirit of Life, for Faith City Church. I will never lack. I will never lack. Amen. That's my confession. Now, you might say something else, but that's my confession all the time. I just say it every day, every single day. When I do remember, some days I don't. But when I do remember, which I always do because I go to prayer and I say, I will not lack today. I'm not going to lack anything. I will not lack for strength. Amen. Although I feel so weak. You know? I say, I'm not lack for strength. God's going to help me. But I take precaution. Right? You have to take precaution. So what happens is I don't lack anything. I don't lack. I've been saying it when I didn't have any money. You know, so when I had bills, I came into a church with so much bills, that today I don't have any bills. I don't have one, I don't owe one penny to anybody in this world. Nobody. I don't owe no credit cards, no MasterCard, no Visa. I don't owe the bank any money. I don't owe anybody, any institution, any money. I'm free. Why? Because I follow some people around here that follow budgets, and I follow my budget. I act my wage. And I don't act any further than that. I'm a faith person, but I also stay within a certain parameter. And there's sometimes you have to push it, sometimes you do push it, sometimes I give more than I should, but I believe God. So why do I say that? Because Jesus is my shepherd. That's the only reason why I say it, not because I'm wonderful and great and look how good I am. No, that has nothing to do with it. It has something to do with my faith in the Word of God. Amen. And so thank God for that. You know, go to 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know, God wants you to have stuff. He wants you to take a vacation. He wants you to buy, you know, a brand new whatever, clothes or whatever. It's nice to be able to do that. I can go buy socks. One time I couldn't buy socks. I didn't have any money. I mean, socks is just one small little item, but for someone who has no money, that's a huge thing. And I used to come and sit in church, and I didn't have any money to give. I wanted to give. But what I found, the pastor said, he gives seed to the sower and bread for food, multiply your seed, sow. And he said, if you just believe God for seed, God will give you seed to sow. So I believed God for seed, and I ate it. I didn't have anything to give. And the Lord said to me, I'm going to give you again. Next time, you better give some of it. Instead of eating all my seed, I gave some of it. I started sowing a little bit. Just start a little bit. Start somewhere a little bit. Believe it. You don't have to give everything away. But learn to be a giver somewhere. So he gives us all things richly to enjoy. And I know he wants you to have a new car or, a new snowblower, which I'm going to buy. A new snowblower I need this year. Matthew 8:17, the CEV for healing. This is, we're talking about needs. So God's promise came true, just as the prophet Isaiah had said, he healed our diseases and made us well. This is the Matthew 8:17, the Common English Bible says. So a long time ago, God promised he would send Jesus, and he would die for our sins. He would die for our healing and health. You know, I go through struggles. I just recently had a virus, which people are terrified over. You know, we were in Toronto. My wife had it first, and I was like, "Look at me." You know, she's not as strong as I am faith wise. And she's throwing up and everything and tired and everything. I came to church. Look at that. But I went home that evening, and I was so sick. I thought I was going to die. And for 3 days, I'm like this. Lord, where are you? Big faith man. Well, it doesn't mean that you'll never get sick. I asked the Lord, and I was kind of confused. I said, Lord, you said you're going to protect me and all that. What is it? You're lying or what? What's going on here? And I went and talked to the Lord. Lord, come here, man. Where are you? Well, the Lord says, well, you missed it. And so, first of all, you got mad at your wife. And you judged her. And whatever had she had, you had it. You know, but then again, he says, you both were overextended physically, and it's not a matter of a devil attacking you. It's a matter of the fact that you overworked yourself, and your immune went down, and then you come up with certain things that your body's not strong enough. It has nothing to do with the devil. Amen. Sometimes people get sick because they eat too much. Eat the wrong stuff, whatever, sometime, right? Matthew 8:17, King James, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, King James, who himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So take the scriptures, we're still at number one, that God promised you, us, the church, that what we're asking for, and we stand on those promises because God is faithful to his word. Make sure that what we ask God for is in the scriptures. So that's the first principle. Am I going to go to five? Okay. You know, I'm not a preacher like Pastor Ken. He would have this done in about 15 minutes. But as a teacher, you uncover every, look under every rock. Brother Hagin said, we're going to look under every rock, every little thing. I should have got Pastor Ken to do it. He'd do it. He does it. He's a miracle worker. Number two. So now that you found the promises of God, so when you see God's promises, you don't have to beg God for healing. If you see God promises you money, you don't have to pray. None of you have to pray for money ever again. Never. Never. Just follow what the scripture says. Just sow seed and say, thank God, all my needs are met, and thank you, Lord. Everything, you know, don't just cry. You know? It's like that one guy I told you last week, right? I said, the guy says to me, runs after me, banging on my window, my car window, I'm driving. Driving out of the church parking lot, bang, 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 bang. What do you want? Pray for me. The devil is attacking my finances. Okay. I said, okay. Come and see me Tuesday. And he falls, he comes back, and he says, okay, the devil, listen to me. The devil's attacking. Okay, so, all right. So he gave you some money for the weekend. So let's sit down here. We looked at it. I said, how much, what you got coming in? What's your income? We'd look at your income. Okay, let's talk about how much bills you have. Let's build something up here. Let's build a case here. So we found out that he was spending so much money over his income. And you know who the devil was, right? He was attacking his own finances. Had nothing to do with the devil. It was he buying too much stuff. It's true. So sometimes we over-spiritualize everything and blame the devil, give him more power than he actually has in your life. Just like Adam and Eve. God tells Adam, what did you do? You ate that fruit. He said, no, that woman you gave me, that woman did it. And we're easy to blame people, right? They said, they did it. Then God asked the woman, what happened? He said, the devil. The devil made me do it. And so we usually do that. So we need to take responsibility, right? So in these areas. So believe what God, number two, believe God meant what he said. When you have found God's word and the promises, the second next step is that you must believe what he meant. Believe the word of God is a sure foundation to build your faith. Someone said if you prayed seven times about one thing, you prayed six times in unbelief. Right. If you prayed and prayed and prayed the same thing over and over, the thing you've demonstrated, you don't believe the previous times. You say you must keep on asking God and asking that you receive because you have to be sure that what God said, that God heard you. Well, we don't go by our feelings. We don't go by spiritual experiences. We go by what the Word of God says. When God says knock the door, he's talking about intercession. There's some things that you have to keep standing on for a long time, for certain things. So believe that God heard your prayers. So many people don't believe God hears them or their prayers because they believe that God will hear other people. God will hear the preacher. So many churches are like that. They believe, oh, the preacher, the prayer team will do it for them. No, not against prayer team. We could have prayer teams appropriately. And we have prayer teams. We do have prayer teams in the church. We pray for people because lots of people, there's lots of needs out there. But there's sometimes, you know, we do need prayer. People pray for us, but not always. So many times we see this as if that the superstar pastor, he has all the answers. That's not the whole thing. So God will hear you. That's the thing I'm trying to say. That God hears you. And you should understand that. Know that for yourself. So here's the scripture, what God says here. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the pastors. No, the preachers. No, the righteous. Everyone here who has been born again is a righteous person. And God's ears are open unto their cry, unto your cry. So God will hear you. We are the righteous by faith. Romans 5:1, see an amplified Bible says. And 1 Corinthians 5:21 talks about we are righteous. Philippians 3:9, we are the righteous ones. Galatians 2:16, that we are the righteous ones because we believe in Jesus. As someone who's right with God, God will hear your prayers. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. The Lord is far from the wicked, it says Proverbs 15:29, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, here's the problem we've been looking at. When your prayers are not immediately manifested, I said not answered, not manifested, what do you do? If your prayers don't seem to be answered immediately, continue to stand on the word of God. Offer prayers of thanksgiving during this time. Say, God, I know you heard my prayer. I know you heard my prayer, and so I thank you according to your word that you've answered me in Jesus' name. So I want to thank you. I want to praise you for answering my prayer. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days when you're attacked, and having done all to stand. That's one of the hardest things for Christians to do is stand during a time, a downfall, when it doesn't seem to be God's answering your prayer. Stand your ground. Perhaps the most common thing people do when their prayers aren't answered immediately, they panic, cry, make all kinds of bad confessions, and they complain. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by complaining. Right? Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Stand up and meditate and make your faith statement based on God's word, because God will always follow through on his word. Resist bad thoughts. Cast down thoughts that come against your prayer request and your mind and say, I don't believe that. I believe. Here's what I believe. Talk to your own thoughts. Talk to your thoughts that go against what the Bible says. Here's 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. Casting down imaginations. That's you doing that. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into a captivity, every thought, that's your thoughts or the thoughts that you have to the obedience of Christ. He said, no, I don't believe that. I reject that thought. Here's what I believe. Talk to yourself. We must fight the good fight of faith. Walking by faith, 1 Timothy 6:12 says, walking by faith isn't easy. It's not always easy. It's not pleasant. But it's possible to walk by faith. God wants us to. When you're walking by faith, some of the hardest times you'll have, and you will have some hard times. I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you what it is. And most of us, you know, in this room right now, you might be having trouble. I'm having trouble. I have to walk by faith. There's things in my life that I'm struggling with. You know, I don't tell you what I'm struggling with, but I tell it to God. So I tell him what I'm going through. If I'm going through depression, I tell God what I'm going through. You don't think we don't go through depression? When people tell us bad stuff about us and say things. Like the other day, I put that thing on there about our activity here in outside. And so has some negative comments. I'm glad our church doesn't do what you guys are doing. Well, yeah, okay. I wanted to fight right away. But everybody's human. So, no, we're taking opportunity to show God's love to people who don't know God. That's what we're doing. We're not celebrating the dead. Get real. We're not celebrating the devil. We're coming against him. Where did you go to? Okay, anyway. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. So the common English says, every child of God can defeat the world. Our faith is what gives us the victory. Number three, don't consider the circumstances. When you're praying, you're going to come up against circumstances. The third step is to ensure that your prayers are answered. Don't consider the circumstances that are contrary to the word of God. The Bible says that Abraham didn't consider the circumstances when he could have. He said in verse 19 of chapter 4, he says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. You could say that, you could put your situation in there. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, neither the situation of little Johnny's life. You know, I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm believing God for little Johnny. He's 21 years old now. So I'm still believing for him. And verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You know, James chapter 1 says that person who doubts is the one who staggers. He staggers, he's like the wave of the sea, driven to and fro. Let that man not think that he will receive anything of the Lord, he says in there. So if Abraham didn't have God's word or promises, he couldn't have stood in faith. You could have looked at a situation yourself and quit right there. He said, you're an old man. You can't have babies. What's wrong with you, Abraham? You put your wife through that situation. You're crazy. Why did God pick those people? There's a reason for it. Right? He could have cried and said, it can't be done. Abraham crying on the side of the road. Abraham, what's wrong with you? So he could have cried. So, number four. I'm going through this really quiet. I'm doing it in tongues. Number four. Don't consider circumstances. Contrary. Four, give God praise. You know, this is the hardest thing, to give God praise when your answer's not there, when it's long in coming. When you're in the hospital suffering with pancreatitis, whatever you got there. Lately, there's about a dozen people in here that had stones. You got to stop listening to the stones. I mean, people call me every day. You're coming in, oh, I got stones, I'm in the hospital. In fact, somebody we know very closely to us is having stones. To be in the hospital and say, oh, Lord, thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you. That's not easy. The final thing is to give God glory.